you would like to turn with us. Romans chapter 14, I'll call your attention to verse 17 for our scripture lesson tonight. Romans 14, verse 17. I want to pray and then we'll read the verse. Our Father, we thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Christ who loved us and gave himself for us, that he might give himself to us. Thank you, Lord, for living in us. What a joy to know that you abide in us and we abide in you. Father, I pray for the next few minutes you would speak through your word. And may we see him who is altogether lovely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This verse of scripture is telling us what the kingdom of God is. You see, the kingdom of God literally means the kingly rule and reign of God. The phrase literally tells us the kingdom. It's the king's dominion. It's the kingdom of God. It's where he rules and he reigns. It means the living God acting in his royal power, visiting and redeeming his people. We may define it as the sovereign activity of God in saving men from their sin, from their iniquity. You see, he's going to establish a new order in your life. When he brings you into the kingdom, the king in the kingdom becomes Lord of your life. You see, it's implying a sphere of rule. When you get saved, God does erase your past. He gives you a new future. But from that day, he becomes the king. He's the Lord. It's his activity in your life and in my life to bring honor and glory to himself. You see, in the Gospels, the kingdom was something that you could enter into. Or you could be excluded from. I'm sure that you already picked up on the fact that when you're talking about the kingdom of God, you're talking about God exercising his sovereignty. The kingdom of God is summed up in the message and the messenger, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There's literally no meaning, difference in meaning in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. You see, God has always been king. He not always has been, he still right now is. That position has not changed. He is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But when you read about the kingdom way back in the Psalms, he talks about, he said, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and thy dominion endureth throughout all generation. You see, Jesus, when he was preaching about the kingdom, he wasn't talking about the nature of the kingdom. He was talking about the fact that the kingdom has come. And you need to find out how to get in it. As a matter of fact, he opened his ministry by preaching this kingdom that we're talking about tonight. I sure hope that you're a member of this kingdom. This kingdom is manifested in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he's not only the message, he's the messenger. And this kingdom is all about him. It's not talking about a program. He's talking about a proclamation. He's talking about that we ought to preach the kingdom of God. We ought to proclaim it. When you and I do that, we're coming to talk about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You don't come to the kingdom of God and learn about somebody else. The kingdom of God is about him. Actually, the kingdom of God is the divine act of God. It is his sovereign activity in saving men. It is God coming into human experience, into your experience, as you walk with him and you talk with him. Isn't it a joy to know, as the songwriter said, he walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am his own. You see, it's good news for somebody else to tell you. But the best news is when he tells you that you're his own. Then assurance springs up in your heart and life. You become confident in the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives you boldness to enter in to that throne of grace and cry out to God for the need of your life, knowing there's a God waiting just to answer you. And he said this throne of grace is about him answering you in grace, that is, undeserved favor. So you're not going to deserve what you're going to get, but he's going to give it to you because he deserves it. And he's going to put it in your heart and life for his honor and his glory. So the kingdom is bound up in a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure that you've already noticed that the kingdom in the Gospels, when he's talking about the kingdom of God there, he is talking about a theme. He's talking about all the preaching in the gospel is concerning that kingdom. And Jesus started preaching that kingdom. I'm sure that you've already noticed also that when you come to the epistles of Paul, it changes, and now it's the preaching of Christ. When you're in the book of Acts, he's talking about the kingdom of God, and he's talking about preaching to Christ. It's the transitional book where you're changing from the Gospels to the epistles. When you get to the epistles, all of a sudden the preaching is about Christ. And somehow in our mind, we begin to question, why did it change? Because the kingdom is Christ. And of course, he says clearly here in the verse that we read what this kingdom of God is for you and for me. You see, the gospel replaces the kingdom when Christ died for the sins of the world. And all of a sudden, he becomes everything the kingdom contains. And so Paul said, we preach Christ. Because he is everything. You see, the very testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the kingdom. That this kingdom was great in Christ. The gospel of the kingdom of Christ is essential. It's the gospel.
gospel of power.
It's not power that'll make you show off. It's power that'll make him show off. You see, it won't cause men to pat you on the back. It'll cause men to bow before Christ. It'll reveal him who literally has all power in heaven and in earth. And that power can operate in your life in causing the mystery of this kingdom, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, to manifest itself in a great way in a word called the gospel. And the gospel is given to us for salvation. It's the power of God. There's that word power again. It's his power in changing us into his likeness. It's him giving us himself. You see the reign of God, watch this, in redeeming man. It's God ruling. Are you listening? And bringing dead sinners to himself and placing life in them. You see the state of grace in this life, are you listening, is for the purpose of changing us so that we can have a state of grace in that life. Oh, I know we already have it here. Yes, the life that you're going to have, you already got. It's not going to change. You see, what God used to save you was his grace. For by grace are you saved. So he puts grace in your life. And God changes you. Listen to me now. If the life that I have in Christ right now is the life that I'm going to have then, right there, then why am I not living right now like I'm going to live when I get there? I give unto them eternal life. I give unto them God's life. So the life that he gives you when he saves you is his life. Was Jesus different here than he was there before he became here? Just in the sense that now he is a man. But he was still pure, righteous, and holy. The Bible said he was without sin. Why should we not be manifesting in this life what we're going to enjoy in that life? If the life we have then is going to be the life that we have now. Because the life we have now is his life. Now come here, and I notice, if you will, in this subject of the kingdom of God, he said we're going to possess righteousness, peace, and joy. You see, righteousness, peace, and joy is what distinguishes the kingdom of God. It's what marks us. I've noticed in coming to this country, as I travel, they mark the sheep, sometimes with red spots, sometimes with blue spots. Could I tell you, when Christ saves you, he'll mark you with righteousness, peace, and joy? I don't know what those colors means on the sheep. But I know what these words mean in the life of a believer, because as our dear brother has said, we spent time in the Word of God. I didn't get it by special revelation. I got it from God's revelation, which is the Word of God. I want you to see that the kingdom of God is the gracious rule of God through Christ, by the Holy Spirit, in the life of believers. Number one, the kingdom of God is righteousness in the Holy Ghost. What he is telling us here, righteousness, that is Christ-likeness that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit inspiring anything else? It's the Holy Spirit that inspires this righteousness and puts it within us, that gives us his righteousness. In other words, my listening friend, it's holy conformity to God. God makes us like his son. And you know that his son was so much God that when they saw Jesus, they said, "You've seen the Father." Righteousness is holy conformity to God. You see, righteousness for man is a divine provision. Could I say it this way? In simple mountain term, North Georgia theology, it's what God provides. Nobody else can provide it for you. You have to get this from him. But of him, this Bible said, ye are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us righteousness. You see, outside of Christ is what he ought to be. Can I tell you, outside of Christ, you can't be what you ought to be. The only way you can be what you ought to be, if God is living in you and the Holy Spirit is inspiring you and using you for his honor and for his glory. You see, if I'm ever going to stand before God, I'll have to stand there in the righteousness of my Savior. I've been saved over 50 years, but I still ain't fit to shoot. My righteousness is his. It's nothing that I can do. But as I yield to him and he works through us by the power of this blessed Holy Spirit, you see, it said, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I look at myself and I say, how in the world could God make us righteous? You see, you may not want to admit it, but you live with yourself and you know what you are. And without Christ, we're nothing. He is our everything. Colossians said he's all in all. I love it. I love it. This is God's nature being given to us. Because you and I, when we get saved, we become partakers of divine nature. You know as well as I do, it's the nature of a dog to bark. It's the nature of a cow to give milk. It's the nature of a Christian to live like his Father. To live like his Heavenly Father. Because God has put his nature within us. As a matter of fact, Ephesians said we were created in righteousness. Isn't that awesome what God is telling us? He even goes so far in the Gospel of Matthew, he encourages you and I's disciples, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. It was a blessed day of my life as a born-again believer when I became aware that if I put him first, whatever was else was going to be fulfilled, because he said, I'll add all these other things unto you. I pastored for 35 years. I think I've heard it all. If I hadn't, I don't want to hear it. But they tell me how they couldn't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to. You see, if you give your tithes and your missions and you put that first, you don't buy groceries, you put that first, and there ain't nothing left, God said, I'll add all this other unto you. I not only believe that in the Word of God, I've experienced it in my life. Amen. I remember on one occasion when I didn't have nothing, the cupboard was empty. I didn't have a dime in my pocket. But I had been faithful to Christ. The next morning, a man knocked on my door that I did not know, had never seen before in my life. He said, is your name Dennis Petty? And I said, yes. He said, last night God woke me up and told me to bring you $40. I'm talking about back when $40 was big. I'm talking about 35, 40 years ago. It's just such things like that. God said, seek me first, and I'll add all this other unto you. Well, let me get off of that and come back here to this righteousness. You see, in Christ, that's our standing. But you see, righteousness in the Holy Ghost is our conduct. That is our condition, our state as a child of God. Righteousness. There's a verse in Romans 5:1 goes like this. He says, for by faith are we're justified by faith. The word justified, of course, means declared righteous. He said, if you're declared righteous, I love this. He said, we have peace. What is it that we have if we've been declared righteous? He said, we have peace, the second one. Not only righteousness, but peace. If peace, are you listening? If righteousness is Christ-likeness inspired by the Holy Spirit, peace is composure that is influenced by the Holy Spirit. I use the word composure because peace being a treasure of grace, peace being the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This wonderful peace of God that He gives to every child of God that is justified, that has communion with Him. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. There's communion. We're fellowshipping with one another. I'm not saying now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul will keep. I'm talking about communing with Almighty God. You see, when there is mental and spiritual warfare everywhere, but this peace that He gives me is His characteristic. It's His composure. You remember in John's Gospel, chapter 13 through 17, His ministry to His inner circle, His disciples. He keeps telling us about my peace. It's the peace that He has that He gives us. It is the composure that Jesus had. Isn't it awesome, the composure that Christ had, even going to the cross? The very hour when He should be totally involved in what's going to happen to Him, He's worried about the disciples. He's taking care of their needs. I'm talking about His, my peace. What is that? The disposition of Christ in us. Peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. This peace with God is the evidence of forgiveness. You see, I'm not at war with God anymore. There's peace. I have the very evidence. And I've been saved because the peace of God is in my heart and in my life. He gave it to me through the work of Calvary. But that brings you and me and I not to the peace with God, but the peace of God. If peace with God is the evidence of forgiveness, then peace of God is the enjoyment of fellowship. I want you to notice that this Bible said God provides this. He said it's the peace of God. He's the one that provides this peace for us. This Bible tells us that Christ is the possessor. He said, it's my peace I give. The Holy Spirit is the promoter. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. So peace would have to be a sense of inward wholeness. Wholeness. The sense of holy completeness in the Lord Jesus Christ. I just inject a question. Do you know this peace? You see, when there is Christ-likeness inspired by the Holy Spirit, there be Christ's composure, His peace that He's given to you and I, that He trusted Him as our precious Lord and Savior. My soul, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. It's an inward sense, I say it again, of wholeness. But you see, it's not only righteousness, Christ-likeness. It's not only peace, which is His composure, but joy. This is cheerfulness that is inborn by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, Galatians 5. 1 Corinthians 13 and 6 tells us that love rejoiceth. So out of the fruit of the Spirit, love and the other eight flow out of it. He said this love that He's put in our heart, you know, by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5, 8. He put the love in our heart. He is saying to you and me in no uncertain terms that if the love of God is in your heart, there's going to be joy. And again in John 13 through 17, He uses the phrase over again, my joy I give you. He's not giving you happiness and joy because somebody gave you a new automobile. Oh, no. That's not the joy He's talking about. He's talking about what He has. What is His. He said, I'm putting in you what is in me. Oh, my goodness alive. His cheerfulness that is inborn by the Spirit of Almighty God. You see, God is going to bring a rejoicing out of our heart because He's put the joy in. He said, I want you to rejoice in the Lord. That's where He wants us to rejoice. We're not to rejoice in our bank account and not even in our health. But we're to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this Bible says that this kingdom of God that we're preaching about is in you. Oh yeah. This rule of God is in you. This rule of God is Christ living in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit making real the person of Christ to you. You possessing the disposition of Christ. Sometimes it's hard for us to get our mind around this. He said, by the way, this joy is the taste of heaven. This joy that He's telling about is life that flourishes in the person of Christ, this source of joy, God made them rejoice with great joy. You see it come from God Himself. This fear of joy is in the Lord. Rejoice where? In the Lord. We're rejoicing in everything except what we've got in Him. Not only that, but this joy comes from the Word of God. You want to get this joy of God? Get in this blessed book. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. This book will do something for you. Well, you'll go in there 3 or 4 days in a row and spend some time and say, what in the world am I doing? I don't understand nothing I'm reading. You just hang in there. It's on the way. It's worth it all to spend time with God in His Word. He said in His presence is fullness of joy. He said if you'll get in the presence of God, it can't get any better because that's the fullness. And you can't feel full, fuller than full. He doesn't leave nothing absent. He's the total joy of our life. He is. It's not what He gives us. It's not what we've got. It's not even the blessings you get. Sure, we rejoice in the fact that God blesses us. But Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, He's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You ain't going to get it. You've already got it. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And this joy is one of them blessings. And we get to rejoice in His blessings. Righteousness is the foundation. Peace is the flower. Joy is the fruit of the kingdom of God. Now He tells us negatively here. He said this kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not carnal and sensational. It's not ceremonial. It's not external rites that we're... No. It ain't none of that. This joy that He's given to you and me is not transitory, it's permanent. When you get born into the kingdom of God, He gives you peace. Oh, He gives you righteousness. He gives you peace, He gives you joy. And you and I that are saved by the grace of God, our life consists in the very nature of Christ. The only way you can have this peace is to have Him because it's His. It's produced by communion with the Father as a friend with a friend. You see, it's the fruit of the Spirit itself. God, by faith, gives Himself to us. And peace comes with it. Let me say this and I'll close. You get this peace from the man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. But there was never a moment that he lacked or joy was absent. His heart was broken. Even his body was crushed. But it was his peace. And he gives it to us, and he wants us to know, no matter what the heartache, we can experience the peace and the joy of Almighty God. And the kingdom of God is within you. The peace and joy of God is within you. You see, the kingdom of God is a manifestation in this present life. Peace, joy, righteousness is manifested in your life. it's not only a manifestation, there's going to be a consummation of it when we're in his presence. I'm saying that to say this: when Jesus preached the kingdom of God, he was preaching so that men could experience righteousness, joy, and peace. Because he knew you can't get it no other way. There's nobody else that can give it to you. You may have a hallelujah time, but it'll die out. I'm not being ugly when I make this statement, but you can go to the house of God and shout and run and have yourself a time. But by the time you go home, it's gone. But if you've been in the Word of God, you can dream about it at night while you're sleeping. You can rejoice in it as you meditate day by day, and it gives you strength to keep going on and on and on. Isn't God good? He not only put us in the kingdom, he put it in us. Oh, absolutely. And we have righteousness, joy, and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great God we have. What a wonderful Savior. What an honor it is that God has given you and me the privilege to make a difference.